Praise God. We're going to open in prayer and we're going to get started here because God wants to say something. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you and give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done through prayer this morning. Jesus, that your healing waters are flowing, Lord, that the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, this is a law that we have. The law of the Spirit of Christ in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has set us free from the law of sin and death. We have your life within us, Lord. Lord, we receive and partake right now of that very life of Jesus Christ that is flowing in this room and within us right now. That healing is ours. I'm making a declaration right now. Healings will be seen. We will see them. They will manifest. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Things, Lord, that we have even prayed about for a long time, Lord, will manifest, will be seen for the glory of God.
Yes.
For your glory, Lord Jesus, that your power be seen in this place today.
Yes.
And your word be heard on ears that are open and hearts that are open to receive. And Lord, it will effectually work in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, I want to ask if I've got a word here that the Lord gave me. And the word is declare. The name of this healing class today is declare your healing. Make a declaration. What does that word declare mean?
Speak aloud and stand behind it.
Yes, it does. And any other thoughts on what it means?
Proclaim something.
According to the dictionary definition, it's an official announcement. You're declaring something. It's official. An announcement. It does mean, Victoria, to make known openly. You're speaking that out loud and you're declaring a truth. If we look at it in a Hebrew definition, it means to be conspicuous. Not hidden, not in secret, but you bring it out into the open. So when you make a declaration, you are openly declaring something. And when we declare the word of truth, we are saying we believe this word and it stands as truth. It's official. It's an official declaration. To make it known, to manifest, or to announce, to make a declaration. That's the word declare. And what we're going to do first is just build this foundation of the nature of God and how we follow after his nature. Because Peter told us that, 2 Peter 1:4, we can become partakers of his divine nature. He has made us partakers because we've believed in Jesus Christ the Son. So we are partakers and joint heirs with him. So we are partakers already of his divine nature. So in Genesis, the pattern that we see and make it a declaration, God said, right? And it was so. It became because God spoke it. Now, he spoke and brought out of nothing things that we see now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So he had to see it first before he spoke it. So it really existed before he spoke it, if you think about it. Because in the eternal realm of God, he's without beginning and without end. In that eternal realm of God, everything's already done. It's already been declared. It's already been written. He just spoke it and brought it into being for our eyes to see. Does that make sense? Hebrews 11 verse 3 is another confirmation of that. Hebrews 11 verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. He brought them into being. He brought them into being. So Just to look at the word declare, we're going to look at a couple of verses. But I want to look at it from an Old Testament point of view and from a New Testament point of view, because they really both agree. Because the Word of God is one story. I know that we are under the grace of God. We're not no longer under the law. We are under the grace of God. But in Isaiah 42, verse 9, Isaiah 42, verse 9 says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass." The past is past. "And new things I declare I'm bringing forth. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." When it says, "I tell you of them," that's the word declare. Before they spring forth, I'm going to declare it. I'm going to make it known openly, and it's going to come into being. So before something happens, I will tell you or make it known to you in the eternal realm, it is already done. Is everybody tracking with me? I want to make sure that there's no confusion, that you're like, wait a minute, back up. So God's nature, His divine nature, is to speak or declare, see it become. Is there any question that He is absolute truth? He is absolute truth. If we believe God is absolute truth, then His word is absolutely true. Absolutely true. So whatever He says is the truth, because when He speaks, it will come to pass. Amen. Back in, I think it was around 2012, 2014, I've got it wrote down, but it was quite a while ago. We were at home praying, and I heard these words. And I never fully understood it at the time, but I'm beginning more and more to understand it now, and it's kind of along these lines. But I heard the Lord say when we were praying, "The past is past, and the future is now." And I thought, okay, I wrote it down. Now what does it mean? When I looked and I saw Isaiah 42:9, it began to help me to understand that. "Behold, the former things have come to pass." It's done. It's there for us to look at and to learn from in whatever form. But whatever God spoke came to pass, but those are former things. The past is past. That even means our past. Mm-hmm. Our past before we were born again. It's past. We have become new creations in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the former things are passed away, and all things, old things are passed away. All things have become new. So deep within our spirit man, we are not the same person. We are born again, and we have been sealed with His Holy Spirit. It's more than you can take in. And I don't think we'll fully understand it till we really see Him face to face. And we'll understand, because we'll look into the One who actually dwells within us, and we see who we really are in Him. The fullness of His presence and what He has done for us, the fullness of His love. But He said the past is past. So if we are holding on to anything in our past that stops us from going forward, even in receiving a healing, because we feel, well, I did this to myself. I abuse my body. You know, I abuse my time. All of this. I'm not worthy. That's such a lie from the devil.
Yes.
Because the past is past.
Yeah, that's right.
The former things are past. Right? The former things are past. "And new things I declare." He said the past is past when He spoke to me, and the future is now. You bring into your future right now. You speak those things into being. "I am healed." You make a declaration. Healing is mine because Jesus paid for my healing. He took upon Himself healing, our healing, our deliverance. Our freedom. He paid it all. Our shame.
Yes.
Our fear.
Yes, God. Thank God.
Our rejection. Yeah. Was he not all of that?
Yes.
All of that happened to him.
Yes,
but we're talking about our healing. By his stripes, you were healed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already been declared. It's already been declared. We just need to, by faith, receive what he has already declared for us. He did that on our behalf so that we could live a life that is free, a life where we are healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I believe that we all really believe that. But we got to really receive it, not right here and leave it right here up in our head as words or as something that we can quote, but really right down here in our heart to where it becomes what we declare. Because we're not declaring out of a natural person. We're declaring out of the Spirit of God that lives within us. And the Spirit of God is eternal and limitless.
Amen.
You can't limit God's Spirit. We can limit it within ourselves, but God's Spirit cannot be limited in
Amen.
What he can do.
Amen.
Questions? Comments?
No, you're saying that, but and his word is not bound.
His word is not bound. That's a good point, Mary. His word is not bound because his word is truth. We said that earlier too, didn't we? If God is absolute truth, then his word is absolutely true. Absolutely. And his word cannot be bound. So let's keep going here. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, how to receive this declaration that we make out of our mouth when we are speaking what he spoke. Because the past is past.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise God.
Your future is right now.
Amen.
It's what you declare it to be.
Mm-hmm.
In reference to the healing of your body. To the deliverance of your body, even of your mind, even healing of the heart and in relationships. Sometimes those are harder than physical healing because your heart is just entangled
mm-hmm.
in rejection and fear. So Romans chapter 4, we're going to look just momentarily at Abraham and what Abraham received by faith. So in verse 17 of chapter 4 of Romans, I'm in the wrong book. I'm in the book of Acts, which is good, but it's not agreeing with what I got on my paper here. Okay, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Now this is really, Paul is writing this and he's referencing Genesis chapter 17. But it says in verse 17 of Romans 4, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, at the moment that God spoke this to Abraham, he was not a father of many nations as of yet. But he was because God spoke it. It would be manifested because God spoke it and God's word is true. But Abraham had to receive that. How did he receive it?
By faith.
By faith. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, right? He became a righteous man simply because he believed God. He believed what he said. It was put on his account. He was called righteous. But as of the time it was spoken, he had had one child, which was not the one that was promised to him, because it was out of Sarah's womb this child would come. When God spoke this to Abraham, he was 99 years old. When he spoke those words, he was 99 years old, and Sarah was 89 years old. And she had not had a child. It says that her womb was dead. But God, who revives and brings people back from the dead,
yeah.
brought those two bodies back from the dead so that they could bear a child together, because it was from Sarah that she would have. Oh, I see what you're doing there. Carol says no.
He always teases me. Sarah, 90.
Oh, that's too funny. So Abraham received that by faith, but it says in verse 17, in the presence of him who believed, whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls. The word calls, you know what that is? Declares. That's the word declares. To call out loud. He declared it out loud to Abraham. Those things which do not exist as though they did. And Abraham did in fact become a father of many nations. Amen. Galatians tells us that those who are of faith are children of Abraham. So our faith in God, which brings the promise into effect, makes us a child of Abraham in that sense, because we are children of faith. So Abraham did become a father of many nations, but he was a father of many nations before he became a father of many nations. Do you see that? Because God spoke it. So when I look at you or me or anyone else and I say, you are healed, I don't feel it, but you are. Because Jesus, 2,000 years ago, said, you are healed. Because by his stripes, you were healed. Can you see that?
Thank you, Lord.
He declared it. He declared it when he hung on the cross. He says, it is finished. It was done. He declared it. The past is past.
Amen.
Your future is now. Those words kind of just, they resonate within me now. When I heard it, I did not understand it when I first heard it. But you call those things that are not as though they are. But when, now, don't go abusing and out of your own mind. If God puts something within you and you think, well, that's impossible, you speak it. Because you call those things into being. Even though they're not, you call them into being as though they are. See it, speak it, see it.
Amen.
See it in the spirit first. You speak it out, and then you see it manifest in the natural. That's the pattern God gave us. And he put it within us that we can do that very same thing. But we have to hear him.
Yes.
We have to hear what his desires for us are.
Praise God.
We're not going to, we don't go and abuse that. Such as I'm a billionaire.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let God speak to you.
Right.
Let God put within you. Mm-hmm. It must agree with his word. We know healing is an agreement with his word. We know relationship healing is in agreement with his word. We know heart healing is in agreement with his word. We know deliverance from sinful behavior, shame, fear. We know that's in his word. So when we declare those things, they come to pass. Because he has already done it. Okay?
Yes.
So we're going to find, where is this word? Where is it? In Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 11. We're going to start at verse 11. This is when Moses was about to, he was making his final speech or declaration, proclamation to the children of Israel before they're to go into the promised land. He's not going, but he's making this, you know, final, it's like his final instructions to them before they go in. In verse 11 of chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, for this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious. It's not secret. It's been revealed. It's not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. No, it's very near. It's not in heaven that you should say, who shall ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. Where is it? Even in your mouth. It's in your mouth and in your heart. So it's not only in your mouth, he wants it in your heart. Because you can speak, the mouth can speak what the mind hears. Mm-hmm. But it must be in your heart. Because when you speak it out of your heart, you truly, truly believe it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. And then he says, see, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. But he goes on to tell you, choose life. He tells us to choose life. Don't choose death. Choose life. And when I say death, that doesn't mean, well, I'm going physically die. But death is anything that is not the fullness of life that Jesus has given to us. Really, death is sickness and disease. Because he says, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. John 10:10. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That we can live an abundant life right now. Right now on this earth. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to be. It's going to be wonderful. It will be wonderful, and I look forward to it. But what about now? Can we live a victorious life right now? And yes, we can. Why? Because the word is near us. It's even in our mouth. That we can speak it, but it says that we can do it. So something happens when you speak the word. It brings about an effect. This word agrees over in Romans chapter 10. It's the same word again. We're looking at what Paul quoted. Paul had a great knowledge of how this New Testament, or what Jesus did, fulfilled all that was in the old. But he's seen the whole pattern, and he's seen how Jesus was through all of those sacrifices and everything, and he's seen it all fulfilled through himself when he died on the cross and when he was resurrected. So in chapter 10 of Romans, it says in let's start in verse 5. Oh, let's start in verse 4. We could start in verse 1, but we don't have time. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. If you can obey the law, then you live. If you can.
Yeah.
Okay, if you could, but it was never able to purge their conscience of sin. Right. They always had a sin consciousness, mm-hmm. always. Mm-hmm. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Now here's where he quotes Deuteronomy. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. How many times have we heard ourselves, and I've caught myself in the past, Lord, come down, I need you. Lord, come, come. I need you, I need you. I understand that can be an innocent prayer. I do understand that, but we got to realize he's already right here.
Yeah.
He's already here. Or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. He has come up from the dead. He's been resurrected. He was witnessed for 40 days after his resurrection. But what does it say? The word is near you. Where's it at? It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. We already have his word.
Amen.
We can declare his word because it's in our mouth and it's in our heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That, in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth, you make an open declaration with your mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you confess Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The word saved is the word that we all know. What is it?
Chosen.
Yes, yes it is. What does that mean?
Everything.
Prospered.
Yeah, it means rescued as far as salvation. You're rescued from sin, but it's your healing. It's your prosperity.
Deliverance.
It's your deliverance. It's your peace. It's all of that. When you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you take all that He is. You're not just confessing, well, I'm saved from my sin. That's awesome. But you're confessing much more than that because He was much more than that. He was the fullness of the gospel. When you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, it's got to be the heart one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So when we're confessing, we're making a declaration. We are declaring Jesus is my Lord.
Amen.
When you declare that Jesus is your Lord, you have said, my healing already exists. Because it's in Him. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He is my deliverer. He's my healing. So when we seek Him, we're not seeking to be healed. We're seeking the one that has already healed us. He's already healed us. It's in your mouth. You know, when it says, you know, can somebody go to heaven and bring Christ down? Go down into the abyss and bring Him up? How many times even have we said within ourselves, if I could just get to that healing service, or if I could just have so-and-so pray for me, if I could just get to them, then I would be healed. And I believe in healing services. I do. And in the past, there's been some very great, Oral Roberts. I mean, great healing services. But we have a greater knowledge of the truth of who we are.
Yes. Amen.
That we have the Word of God even in our mouth.
Yes.
It's there for us to speak it out and to declare over ourselves, eyes see.
Amen.
Be healed.
Yes.
These eyes, and you make a declaration, and I'm saying that over myself right now. Eyes be healed. See. Astigmatism gone.
Amen.
Heart be healed.
Yes.
Beat properly.
Yes.
When you begin to make those declarations over yourself, the thing that happens is we get discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you don't see it happen right away? What do we do?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Let it go. Let it
sometimes
go.
We give up, we let it go.
Yeah.
But when you think about, remember Naaman,
mm-hmm.
Naaman the Syrian. Elisha told him, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. 7 times, why not just sweep your hand over me, he said. Why can't you just sweep your hand over me and I'm made whole of this leprosy? That doesn't make sense to me, go in the Jordan 7 times. That's a dirty river. I don't want to go in that river. I don't want to do it that way. But you know what? He did. And he went and he bathed himself in that river. It says he dipped 7 times. And when he came out that 7th time, he was healed.
Amen.
He was healed. So when we don't see it the first time, are we going to give up? Are we just going to be obedient to what the Word says? Wait, it says I'm healed. I haven't seen it manifest, but that doesn't mean that it's not true. Go dip again.
Right.
Okay? Go dip yourself again. Go dip yourself in that Word and just let it come over you all over again. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Jordan, that was like a dividing line. It was a boundary line between Israel and, you know, what is modern day Jordan now, but it was like, stay in the limit, in the boundary of what God's Word says. Do that. Wash all of that off of you and say, I know what it says. I'm just going to believe it in my heart and I'm not going to give up. If you have, an inventor does not give up. When he has a vision within himself, he doesn't give up. How many times did Edison blow up light bulbs before he got one to work? Any inventor. What's that, Carl?
2,000.
There we go. 2,000. So you keep, and when you're persistent, if God has given you a vision, when he has put this declaration in your heart, this desire within your heart, don't give up on it. Don't give up because the promises of God are sure. Okay. In John chapter 9, we're going to go to John chapter 9. We don't have much time left here. John chapter 9. Jesus has just escaped out of Jerusalem. Not that he really had to escape because he's the Son of God, but he just declared himself before Abraham was, I am. And they wanted to stone him because he declared himself as God. And so he's left out of Jerusalem. And as he's coming out of Jerusalem, he sees this man in John chapter 9. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. John chapter 9, 1 through 7 says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. From birth. This man had never seen. He had never been able to behold anything before his eyes. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So as long as Jesus was in the world, it was day. But now, he says, you're the light of the world. We don't walk in darkness, we walk in light. Mm-hmm. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. It's one of those miracles that doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. How many times did Jesus heal just by saying, eyes be open? Or just by touching somebody's mouth and they could speak? Touching somebody's ears and they could hear? But he made clay with his own spit, and he put it on this man's eyes. Now, if that was to happen to us, because we see with our eyes, if clay was to be put on your eyes, what are you going to do? You can't open them. Mm-hmm. You're not going to want to open them, and you can't see. But this man couldn't see, but he heard the word of the Lord. He heard what Jesus said, go wash in the pool. He could have just wiped that stuff off with his hands so that it would not get in his eyes and cause discomfort, but he listened to what the Lord said to him. He went to the pool. He must have known how to find it. And he had been blind for however old he was, so I'm sure he knew how to maneuver his way around. You know, a blind person can learn by hearing. He could hear where the water source was, but he had those other keen senses. But he knew how to get to that water source. And the pool of Siloam was like a traditional cleansing bath, is what it was. That they would wash themselves and cleanse themselves before they would go up to Jerusalem for the feast. So this was a cleansing, is what it was. He said, go and wash in that pool. And when he did, his eyes were opened up and he could see. But he had to be obedient to what he heard. He was obedient to the word. The word says, Jesus is the word, right? The Logos said this. I'm going to be obedient to it. Something in his heart had to agree with what he heard. Mm-hmm. He heard it. His heart agreed with it. He carried through with it. And he received his healing. So it's with the mouth we confess, but with the heart we believe. We have to have this in our heart. We have to believe it in our heart. But he had to go and he had to wash that earth from him. And sometimes, don't we have to do that? We got to wash off the earthy. Get the earth off of us so that we can really see. I know there's some wonderful things that we can do for ourselves, but is that where our trust is? Is our full trust in the vitamins that we take or the natural things that we do? All of those are good. I'm not discounting those things at all because I take vitamins. I'm not discounting that. But if that's where our faith is and we don't see the manifestation of what we want to see in there, we get discouraged. So sometimes we need to just be obedient and wash that earth off of us and go and receive our healing by faith. And it manifests. So there's a couple of verses. Later on, I just want to tell you what this man said. Because all of a sudden, he's seeing. And the Pharisees are very upset because this man was healed. So in verse 32, he makes his own declaration. This man does. Well, he made a declaration earlier. He says, "All I know is that I was blind and now I see." That's an open declaration that he has been healed. But they're still questioning him. What did he do to you? How did he do this? So in verse 32, it says, this is what this man spoke to the Pharisees. "Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." So in the natural, you cannot do anything. He says, it's been unheard of. The natural man, but if it's of God, the impossible becomes reality. If he were not from God, he could do nothing. Have you ever heard, he's saying, have you ever heard of anybody just going out and open up the eyes of the blind that they can see? It just doesn't happen. Now, today I know we have surgeries and things can be corrected in ways like that, but this is a miracle that God has provided. He provided this man a miracle. What this man did, he's saying, you got to see with the eyes of faith. You really have to see with the eyes of faith. He's saying, with God, all things are possible. Right. And he does it openly. Mm-hmm. He's declaring the power of God is what he's doing. John 15, verse 3, and I just want to read this real quick. John 15, verse 3 says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatsoever you desire, and it will be done for you." So if the word of God abides within you, it's going to agree with what this word says, and it shall be done for you. But don't give up. We can't give up. We give up too soon. We're in an instant society. You know, we turn that internet on, and when that little circle's turning, it drives me nuts. Doesn't it? Come on already. Right. We're expecting it. I want it now. I want it now. Lord, I want my healing now. Your healing is now. Remember, the past is past. The future is now. It's now. It has been provided for you. But keep speaking and declaring over yourself what you know is true, that you are the healed of the Lord. We're making that declaration over ourselves, and we're going to do it here today. But I just want to just remind you in 2 Timothy 2:13. Let us read that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." When it says he cannot, that means no. That's an absolute no. The cannot there, when you look it up in the Greek, it means no, I will not deny myself. Not only can he cannot, but he will not deny himself. He will not disown himself. He will not prove himself false because he is the way, the truth, and the life. So when we speak his word and declare his word, he will come through. Amen. Because his word is true. He cannot turn against himself. He will bring it to pass. So one more verse, and then we're going to make a declaration, okay? 1 Thessalonians, I love this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. This is how we do this, okay? This is how we do this. Remember, we got to believe in our heart. We got to confess with our mouth, believe in our heart. So in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard," so you heard it and you received it. You heard it from us. This is Paul speaking. But he says, you welcomed it. Now, where did you welcome it? In your heart. You heard it with your mind, but you welcome it in your heart. You receive it. It means you receive it in your heart. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. The word of God is true. Which when you receive it in your heart, what does it do? Which also effectively works in you who believe. The word is effectual. The word is power. The word is action. It works. The word is near you, even in your mouth, that you may obey it, but that you may do it. You may see it come to pass. You may be an expression of the word of God. So what I want us to do is I want us to make a declaration about ourselves and our healing, okay? So I just want you to repeat these words after me. And think about the healing that you need present in your body. And we are going to have, if you need prayer, we are going to do that. But say this with me. This is a declaration. Okay? Remember, you're declaring. This is an open announcement. Okay? Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
Lord, I believe your word.
Lord, I believe your word.
And I believe you.
And I believe you.
I call forth the manifestation of healing right now.
Manifestation of healing right now.
I receive it. According to the word of God.
According to the word of God.
I settle it within my heart. That it is done. I declare I am healed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now believe it, receive it, and see it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for your word that is absolute truth. Faith supersedes impossibilities. And I thank you for the word of faith which we have heard and received in our hearts today. And I thank you for every healing that manifests in this body, in this church, because healing rivers are even flowing now, touching people's lives, cleansing them from that malady and those infirmities within their bodies now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.